So yesterday when I was going over my notes, I just want you all to know that you can time this. I'll be 17 minutes. Hopefully no more. It may be less if I speed read. I told Gary, you know, I need to do all of those things that a speaker should do. Make good eye contact. And thank you for sitting up front so I can just make eye contact with you. Because I know that whatever I say, he's going to... I know I won't offend him. So thank you for sitting in the front, sweetheart. So the... You know, every good sermon has to have a title. So I changed the title a couple of times. And actually, to be really forthright with all of you, I've had this since February. Since the first week of February, I started making notes. I was like, oh, that's good. Oh, that's good. So I've been making notes. And then, you know, when it comes right down to it, it's like, oh, gosh, I don't know. And so he was very graceful. Honey, I'll give you an out. I'll give you now. It's like, no, I really need to do this. So the title of my thought this morning is Leaving a Footprint. And I'll tell you right now, I really, really tried to hone in and make this a Mother's Day message, but it really isn't. This is for moms and dads. This is for grandmas and grandpas. This is for families. This is for raising kids and teaching children in the ways of the Lord. So I'm trying to make it mom. But a lot of my points are mom and dad. I would never say that I was the key leader in the family. Our family didn't work that way. Gary was definitely the head of our household, and he was my covering, and I was the covering of the children, and that's how our home operated. So when we raised kids, even though he was 21 years on the missionary field out being an evangelist, he was still a very active dad. I'm going to call your father now, and you're going to talk to him. So, yeah. Woo. DJ can tell you. Yep-er. So, jumping right in, you know, it just really wouldn't be a Mother's Day message without reading Proverbs 31. And that Proverbs 31 woman gets me because I fall so short of her. So Proverbs 31 and 28 begins and says, her children stand and bless her, and her husband praises her. There are many virtuous and capable women in the world, but you, moms, grandmas, you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive, and beauty does not last. Obviously, it gets wrinkled. But a woman who fears the Lord will be greatly praised. Reward her for all that she has done, and let her deeds publicly declare her praise. And so let's just pray. Father God, I just pray this morning that you would help me to convey what I feel like you have put on my heart for this morning. I pray that my thoughts come together. I pray that I share your heart this morning with the moms, the grandmas, the dads, and the grandpas that are in with us this morning. I pray the Holy Spirit would just help me align my thoughts, that you would minister through me this morning. I ask for your help in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. So moms have a tough job, and I don't have to tell any of you that. A job of sleepless nights, hard decisions, and sacrifice. A job of a referee, a taxi driver, and a nurse. Too often unrecognized and thankless. But the heart of a mom is loving, nurturing, and caring. Mothers play a vital role in society. Mothers not only impact their children, but they impact their children, their grandchildren, great-grandchildren, and double great-grandchildren, as Barb Huff has this morning. I don't know how many people have great-great-grandchildren, but that's remarkable to me. Wow. Wow. Some impact generations even after they have passed and gone into heaven because of the truth that they have passed on. Dorothy Marshall is one of those people in my life. I was a young mom, my husband just starting in ministry, and their church was the first place that my husband held revival in. And that lady taught me the power of prayer. Oh, could she pray? She could pray in the spirit. She could pray out loud. She had such authority when she went before the Lord in prayer. And I will never forget that lady laying out. They had 1, 2, 3 steps up to the platform, and she would lay out and just weep before the Lord. And you felt everything that she was crying out to God about. And it was family. It was friends. It was healing. She was a remarkable example of a praying woman for her family. Some mothers get to be an inspiration to other mothers' children. And I say that about not all daycares are owned by Christian people, but I say that about Brooke's daycare, because Brooke has children of moms and dads that have to work. But they get to go to her daycare where she gets to impart the word of God to them, where she gets to pray with them and over them and be a part of their spiritual growth. Some mamas get to do that. Our actions and love sometimes surpass our own four walls and reach out to others. Paul wrote about the impact of Timothy's mother and grandmother on his life. In 2 Timothy 1:5, he said, "I remember your genuine faith, the faith that you shared first with your grandmother Lois and then your mother Eunice. And I know that that same faith continues strong in you." And it shows us the importance of having a godly heritage. Dorothy Marshall has a godly heritage with children that weren't even born to her. We went there once a year. We saw them a couple of times a year. But wow, she has a footprint in my life. Sometimes as moms, we feel like we didn't quite do our job all that well. We feel defeated sometimes. But we have to keep in mind and understand that our kids are a work in progress. And it doesn't matter if they're young or they're old. We're still somebody's kid and we're still a work in progress. We need to keep praying and never give up, because of our impact is greater than we could ever imagine. I speak to moms with young children as well as moms with grown children. There is not a place that we arrive to this side of heaven that our children do not need our prayer, do not need our example, do not need us praying for them and interceding for them. I love what George Washington said. "The greatest teacher I ever had was my mom." How wonderful. I tried to homeschool the boys. I started with Haas. Haas knew everything, so there was no homeschooling Haas. So Haas went on to kindergarten. Sorry, Brooke. Cody, I could have. Cody was just so loving and passive. I could have definitely homeschooled Cody, but I put him in kindergarten at Brick School. I tried to homeschool Dusty. That didn't happen either. Dusty knew everything too, so I just sent him on to school. Ronald Reagan said, "From my mother, I learned the value of prayer and how to have dreams and how to make those dreams become reality." What a wonderful thing to say about your mom. Godly mothers, you have taken and done a great part to raise your children in the way of the Lord. You are a treasure and you are a blessing. The Bible says that you are above rubies. That's how beautiful and valuable you are. The Bible teaches us that we are to parent by example. In Proverbs 22:6, we usually use this scripture when our children are going wonky, going the other direction. It says to train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he'll not depart from it. But here's the question. Have we done our part? Have we actually trained up our children in the way that they should go? Do we even know what that means to train up our children in the way that they should go? Our job as parents is to point our children to Christ. Our job as parents, as grandparents, is to point our children to Christ. If we do not take a proactive interest in our children's spiritual welfare, someone else will, and it will likely not be good. Gang activity is very enticing to our young people, and that's because they are looking for someone to include them, someone to instruct them, and someone to give them position. And if we don't give that to them in their household, in our households, in our home, if we don't make them feel valuable, they'll go someplace else where somebody will. So don't leave it. And I have nothing against the public school system. My children all went through it. I work in the public school system. But don't leave it to the public school system to teach your children values. And for God's sake, whatever you do, please don't leave it to the media to teach your children right and wrong. It ain't gonna happen. You're gonna get your wire so crossed, your kids will be way mixed up. That is our jobs as moms and dads, to tell our children right from wrong from a biblical point of view, not because I said so. You know, I hope to shout I didn't say that too many times to my kids growing up, because I said so. That's not a reason. That's not a reason. But what does the Bible say about that? And they probably got tired of that because their dad was real good about doing that. We need to teach them. We need to lead them. We need to guide them and train them in the way that they should go. I'm telling you what, I work in child nutrition, the kitchens. I'm the head lunch lady, Gary says. If we didn't train the staff that come in to work in our cafeterias, we would have people that would be serving ready-to-eat food with their hands, with bare hands. Some of you, you don't even understand what I'm saying. When you have a ready-to-eat food, you never touch that with a bare hand. You either use gloves or you use a utensil of some sort. You never touch ready-to-serve food with bare hands. But what if nobody trained the people that were coming in to work for us? What if nobody taught them? They would be just handing out handfuls of lettuce and tomato to kids with a bare hand. How gross would that be? No, we train them. We tell them, no, you need to use gloves. No, you need to use a utensil. No, you need to time and temp that. No, that can't be reserved. It's already been reheated once. All of those things, it's training. We need to do the same thing to our kids. We need to train them. The boys didn't have to ask when they were young, are we going to church on Wednesday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Saturday night for a few years? They didn't have to ask that, because guess what? That's just what we did. We went to church. There was no guessing. There was no wondering. We trained them that way. What does it mean to be trained up? One way to phrase this is to create a thirst. And I love this. To create a spiritual thirst in the life of our children. And how do we do that? By having a walk with God that is attractive. Having a relationship with the Lord that they would want to aspire to. Create in them a thirst to know God the way that you know God. To train up a child is to create a thirst in them for the things of God. By example, by modeling it, and by showing them what it is to be a real Christian. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. And happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. Psalms 127 and 4. Pastor had a quiver of three, and that was plenty. That was all this mama of her youth could handle, was a quiver of three. We started out wanting to have many more children than that. And then we prayed about, let's just stop with two. Okay, if we are not going to conceive within the next year, we will stop with two. And along came DJ. And then we said, oh, we're done. We're done. Yeah, there is no more prayer needed. We are done. I use my sons as an example a lot, but I absolutely adore being their mom. They have made me the proudest mom. I adore my sons. And finally, I adore my beautiful daughters. I have three wonderful, beautiful daughters. Finally. It took me 21 long, arduous years to get a daughter. And now I have three. And I'm very happy about that. As part of being a parent, it's an important purpose in our life to guide our children. We are there to teach them right from wrong and provide for them and lay a foundation for their life. Most importantly, our job is to lead them to Christ. That's our most important mission as a mom, is to lead our kids to Christ. Psalms 127 and 3 says that children are the heritage of the Lord, or a gift. Children are a gift from God. And what a great privilege it is to have children. And can I just say, kids need parents. They need parents. They need parents to nurture them and point them to Christ. And it's our job as moms and dads, here we go with the dads too, to train our children to bring them up in the way of the Lord. Your thought might be a little bit different than mine in this area, but I think a parent should be a parent. A parent should not be a best friend, because best friends come and go, but a parent's going to stick with you through thick and thin. Kids need parents. You read about celebrities that take their kids out and they party and they get drunk and they do all of those drugs and everything, you know, because they're their kids' best friends. And I say, no, that doesn't make any sense at all. Be an example. Be a role model. Don't be that parent. Be a parent. And I'm not saying that you can't hang out with your kids and do things with them and be their friend, because I am absolutely friends with my kids. And we were friends growing up. But I was their parent. I was their mom. And they didn't always like what mom had to say. But they still had to abide, because I'm your mom. I'm not your, the buddy line stopped right here, and I'm your mom. We did things together, and I'm telling you, as adults, there is nothing better than hanging out with my kids. I love it. I love when they all gather under our table and drive Papa nuts. I adore the conversations that happen at our table with our grown children. And I would say we are all friends now. Bottom line, still, I'm your parent. I'm your parent, even when you're 31 years old or 32 or however old you are. 33! Can I hear 30? Who's 30? DJ. Yeah, right here. Okay, we've got 30. You are first and foremost the parents, which means they'll not always like your decisions, but you are the parent. And remember that teaching your children is a daily thing. It's a lifestyle. So little people, young mamas, it's a lifestyle to teach your children. The best thing that a man can do for his kids is to love and to respect his wife. And the absolute best thing that a woman can do for her babies is to love and respect their father. Show your children what real love looks like. And don't use your spouse or your children as a pawn in a game to sway them to do what you want. And we see that all the time. We see that all the time. But that's not the proper use of your spouse or your children. Teach your children how to disagree respectfully. You and your spouse will not always agree on everything. So teach your children how to work through disagreements without being ugly, without yelling, without name calling. Sometimes it's best to agree to disagree and work out details behind closed doors. We did that. We didn't yell and fuss and fight and be ugly in front of the children. We didn't do that behind closed doors either. I need to put a little disclaimer out there. We didn't do that behind closed doors either. You know, but we didn't always agree. We didn't always agree on everything. So, in front of the kids, we chose to agree to disagree. And we left it there. And then we would go privately and we would talk about it. But we always came out a united front. And we never said to the kids, well, your mom said it that way, but this is how the buck stops. We didn't do that. We parented together. And we came out in agreement together with whatever the decision. No, you can't drive your car. Yes, you're grounded. We agreed in front of the children. That isn't to say that we didn't have, like I said, disagreements where we didn't agree with one another, but we didn't do it ugly, and we didn't do it with the yelling and the name calling and all the nastiness that goes along with that. Remember that even in your most emotionally stressed times, you are still teaching your children. Yeah, and I didn't always handle that really well either. I wasn't the best at that. I was the parent that was, wah! Gary was the parent that was very even. And so somewhere along the way, I'd like to think we balanced. Teach your children how to disagree respectfully. Your child should be able to measure their relationship with God according to their relationship with you, their parents. I love this about Greg Laurie. He's very open about his son, his relationship with the son, and the struggles that he had. Greg said once of his son that his son had told a friend that he knew he was right with God when he was right with his dad. He said the thing that brought him back to Christ was knowing that he was loved unconditionally by his dad, loved unconditionally by a heavenly Father, and that he would always be welcomed back. We need to be open and love our children regardless of where they're at. Ask God to help you to be the best parent you can. In Matthew 19 and 14, Jesus says to let the children come to me and do not forbid them, for such is the kingdom of heaven. We need God's help to be good moms and dads. And we live in a culture that is largely hostile to the family. And that's evident even in commercials. I despise how commercials make fathers look stupid. A pet peeve of mine, oh my gosh, I will change the channel. I despise that. How dare you in the media tear down the position of a father in the home? But they do it all the time. They do it in music, they do it in movies, they do it in television, in crazy commercials. They all tend to undermine, especially the role of parents. In the Gospels, we read about how these parents brought their children to Jesus. One day, some parents brought their little children to Jesus so that he could touch them and bless them. But when the disciples saw this, they scolded the parents for bothering Jesus. But when Jesus called for the children, he said to the disciples, "Let the children come to me. Don't stop them, for this is the kingdom of God, and it belongs to those who are like these little children." The parents see Jesus from far off, and they're like, "Hey, Jesus is over there. Grab the kids, baby. Let's go." And they go. And then they get stopped by the disciples who say, hey, he's busy. He's tired. He's worked all day. He's been healing and changing water to wine. Leave him alone." And Jesus was like, "Whoa, wait a minute. Bring those babies to me." bring me the children. Bring me the little people. And the kids came to Christ and loved him, and he loved them and their parents. And in the original language, this really struck me. It could be translated that they kept bringing their children to Jesus. They kept bringing them and more. And they went back to the neighborhood and told the neighborhood kids, hey, Jesus is over there and he's blessing all the children and he's just loving all. You got to come see him. So it could be translated that they kept bringing the children to Jesus. I don't know about you, but I can just imagine that. Him sitting on a rock underneath a shade tree and all the babies are just coming and saying, I love you, Jesus. I've heard about what you've done. I love you, Jesus. I like the fact that even though they were rebuked by the disciples, that they were persistent. If you are a smart parent, you will keep bringing your child to Jesus. You'll continue to teach them stories from the Bible. You'll continue to teach them how to apply those stories to life's circumstances. You'll continue to bring them to church. It's important to bring them to church. You'll continue to create in them a thirst for more of God. Your part is important. Be faithful in it. And remember, nothing really happens through us until it first happens to us. And this scripture got me stumped for a little while. It's Paul writing in Philippians 4:9, and he says, the things which you have learned and received and heard and saw in me. Now, think about that for your own self. And you're talking to your children, and you say to them, think of the things that you have learned from me, received from me, heard from me, and saw me do. Paul says, do these. And I had to think, do I really want my kids to do some of the things that I learned and some of the things that I received and some of the things that I did? Probably not. Probably not. But wow, do I want them in the Word and to be doing the things that they see and learn and receive of Christ? That's our model. It's moms and dads, that's our model. That's what we need to be teaching our young people. Follow that. Follow that. Follow me as I follow Christ. That's what Gary says. Follow me as I follow Christ. What our children need most is to see our faith in action. And moms, never stop teaching your children. Come, my children, and listen to me, and I will teach you to fear the Lord. That's Psalms 34:11. Sometimes Christian parents want their children to live in a bubble, and I must say I was probably one of those parents. They are not going to allow anything ungodly to influence their home. They won't have a TV set, no media, no radio, no rock and roll music, nothing that would penetrate, that would be anywhere near the world. No media, no internet, no blue Smurfs, no Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. And if the truth really be told in this situation to my boys, when they were young, we watched a video of Moses and the plagues that happened to Egypt. And when that death angel came through Egypt and poor Hoss took the firstborn of all of those in Egypt, my children were mortified. They were scared. They didn't want to watch that anymore because that death angel was so real and the cries of all of the children of the firstborn and the cattle that died and everything. And then the boys were like, Hoss is the firstborn. Yeah, little nervous. That video didn't get watched very often. So, you know, it's all of those little things that I think back on that I could have been a little more laxed about. But the bottom line is, it would be best for us to prepare our kids to live in the real world. And I learned that a little bit later. Prepare them to deal with what the world is really like, because the world is not a very pleasant place. It's not a very nice place. It's not a very secure place. But when they have a foundation in Christ, that changes their view of what the world actually looks like. I never had to teach my boys how to sin. How about that? I never had to sit them down and say, "Boys, today, after Mama makes bread, I'm going to teach you how to sin." Nope. Just like every one of us, sin came naturally to them. It comes naturally to us all. But our job needs to be that we help them recognize it and we give the tools to overcome it, to get by it, to pray through it. And know that even when they make mistakes, we are there to love them, to pick them up, and dust them off. Moses gave us great insight when he said, "And these words which I command to you shall be in your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your children, and you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up." What Moses is saying is just do it all the time. All the time. Teach them in the morning and at night. Teach your children everywhere you go. Look for teachable moments. I found that some of the greatest inspirational, spiritual conversations came when we just were doing everyday stuff with the boys and everyday stuff with the grandkids. Conversations of people doing the right thing and the consequences of what happened when they did the wrong. Debbie Mills has taught me, as an adult, teaching moments come at all ages, from the little people to the grown-ups. She has taught me the value of unconditional love. She's not here right now, but she already knows, and I'm not telling her anything that she hasn't already heard in her ears. She has taught me so much about loving your children, even when you don't agree with them. We don't always agree with the actions of our kids. But she has taught me that you love them anyway. You just love them through it. Caring love knits hearts together and forms those valuable family ties that we all yearn for. We like to be part of a family. That's a human nature. That's part of our DNA, to be a family. Colonized, whatever you want to call it. We look for teachable moments when we're with the grandkids, when we're watching movies or documentaries. Quinn teaches me about documentaries, and then we have just really great conversations about them when we watch them together. We ask questions and we engage them. We don't use movies and documentaries or television as just a means to babysit them. No, we talk to them. We engage them. There's always a lesson to be learned, no matter what you're watching. Doesn't matter. We want to help them to develop a biblical view for themselves, and we want them to see things as God sees them. This is a constant process. So moms, lovingly teach the word to your children and never stop. We are leaving a footprint in this world. All of us, moms and dads, grandmas and grandpas, we are leaving a footprint. When David was on his deathbed, he called to his son Solomon, and Solomon was going to carry on the reign as the king. And here is what David said to Solomon, his son. "As for you, my son Solomon, know the God of your father. Know the God of your father. Serve him with a loyal heart and a willing mind. For the Lord searches all of our hearts and understands all the intent of our thoughts. If you seek him, he will be found of you. But if you forsake him, he'll cast you off forever. And that's found in 1 Chronicles 28. Like David, we are leaving a legacy or a footprint. And as parents, as moms and dads, we are bringing our children to Christ by our actions, by our works, and by our deeds. The legacy we leave for those that follow will affect generations to come. The things that we are doing now are going to affect generations to come. Moms and dads, you're teaching your children how to interact with their future spouse. You're giving them guidelines. What you're doing, is that what you want them to model with their children? Is that how you want their life? Do you want them to have the same thing that you have? Give them the tools. Give them the tools that they need. In our relationship, Pastor Gary and I, myself, I say, give them the tools to replicate what we have in our home with them growing up. Give them the tools that they need to live in harmony with their spouse. All three of my daughters are very different. All three of my sons are very different. And they all have unique relationships. But I can see our marriage in their marriages. And it's wonderful. It's a blessing. It's a treasure. It's like something that I can just hold on to and say, that was part of us when we were their age, doing this parenting thing, trying to be adults and not understanding how to raise kids. We did the best that we could. Parenting is more than just conceiving and feeding and clothing and educating and then sending them out in the world. You're on your own. It's so much more than that. Moms and dads have the responsibility of preparing their children for their eternal destiny of meeting God. That's what we're doing with our little people. We are preparing them to meet God. How's your preparation going? How's it going? I know mine can always be fine-tuned. Always be fine-tuned. We are passing on an eternal legacy, a footprint to follow. The choices of our time here on earth are binding in eternity, not just for the life here on earth, but forever. And again, I love this from Pastor Lori, and we can all, this applies to all of us. He said, I have seen many generations. I've seen my grandparents' generation. I've seen my parents' generation. I've seen my generation. I've seen my children's generation. And now my grandchildren's generation. And here's what I've seen. The things that we do today impact us later in life. Our impacts, our actions impact our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, and our great-great-grandchildren. Moms, we are leaving a footprint or a pattern, a legacy. And let's make sure that as we go, day to day, hour to hour, that we are making a clear enough statement, a clear enough pattern, a clear enough footprint for our children to be led generations in the future to a personal relationship with Christ. Let's leave them with a life pattern, life footsteps that lead to the very throne of God. That's what our mission is. As moms and dads, like I said, this is just not about moms. I tried to make it, but it just didn't work that way. Because we're in this together. Moms and dads, we're just in this together. And this is Mother's Day, and we honor and acknowledge our moms, but we need the dads too. We need the participation of fathers in the household as well.